Good morning, TRUMC. Welcome to worship on this beautiful Lord's Day, this first Sunday of Advent. So happy to have all of you joining with us in worship today. Those of you who are here in person in the sanctuary, those who are online with us right now on Facebook Live and YouTube and later on our podcast, those who might be out in the parking lot right now worshiping on 88.9 FM, all of you today are part of the TRUMC worshiping family, and we're so grateful that you have joined with us in the worship of our loving God today. My name is Jonathan Tompkins, one of the pastors here, and I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our King. Our handbells are here to prepare us for our worship service today. Let us use this time to prepare our hearts, minds, souls, and our entire selves to worship the God who loves us.
Hear this reading from the prophet Micah. As for you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you are the least significant of Judah's forces, one who is to be ruler in Israel on my behalf will come out of you. His origin is from remote times, from ancient days. Therefore, he will give them up into the time when she who is in labor gives birth. The rest of his kin will return to the people of Israel. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. They will dwell secure because he will surely become great throughout the earth. Please remain standing for our hymn of praise this morning.
Thank you.
My sisters and brothers, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel, who is coming to us. I'm going to ask you to take a moment now of hospitality. I'm greeting you a little differently today than I normally do. Normally, I will shake your hand, but there is a head cold going around the Tompkins household right now. So I'm going to give you the holy head bow. Keep in mind that there might be other people in similar situations. And so please greet others the way they wish to be greeted. Thank you, friends. Please be seated. Please be seated. Good morning again, church. Allow me to lift up a few announcements for you. If you have a bulletin, you will find these on the insert in your bulletin. First, I do want to invite those of you who are in the sanctuary, if you would please begin passing the attendance pads. You'll find them on the middle aisle side of your pew. Please mark down that you're here, and if you're joining us today for the first time, if you give us a way to contact you, we'll just contact you later this week with more information about us. If you're worshiping with us online right now, you'll see a QR code on your screen. This takes you to our website, to our digital Connect card, and we really want you to let us know that you are worshiping with us today. So please fill this out, and we will love to connect with you digitally. Please take a look at some of the announcements here for us. And again, these are in our churchwide emails that go out twice a week, Monday and Friday. And so please make sure that you're receiving those churchwide emails. And if you are receiving them, please make sure that you are reading them, because this gives you a lot of information during the week. Please continue to sign up to help lead worship. Children and youth, you can be acolytes and Bible bearers. Everyone, children, youth, and adults, can be communion servers, scripture readers, greeters, and ushers. And you'll see the site on our website where you can sign up to help. Also, on your way out today, you will see there is a lectern out there that has two Advent calendars on it. The first is to feed your mind, body, and soul. This is from our mind health support team, and it's a little Advent calendar for you. And then the other is to help feed hungry people. This is what we call a reverse Advent calendar. And you take a food item each day, put it in a box, and then on Christmas Eve, donate it to a food bank. Please take those, or the links are in our weekly email for those as well. Also, please plan on participating in some of our Advent studies or sessions. We're offering you three different ones. On Tuesdays at 10 a.m., that's at the Woodlands, led by Linda Anderson. On Wednesdays at 6 p.m. online, and that's going to be in a various forms online. This particular week's is by Zoom, and the link will be in tomorrow's email. It was also in this past Friday's email. And then on Thursdays, in person at noon in the parlor with Pastor Christine. So all different ways that you can access our Advent studies this year, and each study is different. We're excited about those. Also, the green handout is our Advent schedule, Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany schedule. This takes you all the way through January 1st, 2023. And so please take this with you, hang it up on your fridge, and join us for all of our Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany worship activities this year. We're so grateful that you have joined with us in worship today. I want to invite Camille and Aiden to bring our scripture of the day for us. In addition to being on the screen, I also want to point you to the back of your bulletin to your trail guide so we all can follow along with the reading of God's word.
Okay. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked,
"Where is the kid of the Joseph? We see this in the east.
We've come to honor him. The word became flesh and blood and lived among us. Thanks be to God."
Thank you. Thank you, Aiden. Thank you, Camille. Well, today we begin our Advent sermon series called Among Us. This comes, of course, from John's Gospel. The Word became flesh and blood and lived among us. We're going to be exploring during this Advent Christmas season what it means that God, our King, our Savior, our Emmanuel, our love and our light, what it means that that God came among us in Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, I'm wishing you today Merry Advent. Merry Advent, our four-week season of preparation for the birth of Jesus has begun. Advent comes from Latin words meaning coming to or coming toward, but it's not here yet. So Christmas is not quite here yet, although I know out there it's been Christmas. It seems like I was just finishing stealing my children's Halloween candy when all of a sudden the Christmas decorations started coming out and the Christmas song started playing. That's understandable. The older I get, the more sentimental I get about Christmas, and I need to admit something to you today. I'm going to show you a picture of my house. And it has been that way. It has been that way since the weekend before Thanksgiving. So Christmas has come early to the Tompkins household. However, we still need to prepare. We still need to wait because we are in this season of waiting. The Christ child is not here yet. So I want to invite us to kind of live in this tension between not quite being Christmas and Christmas. Let's prepare for the birth of the Christ child even amidst our lights and our inflatables and singing our Christmas carols. It's okay to live in the tension that Advent brings to us. You'll notice that the colors here in the sanctuary have changed. We are now in blue. Blue is the liturgical color for Advent. You'll see Pastor Christine's stole and my stole are blue. The Advent candles are blue. The paraments here at the altar are blue. You can't see it, but underneath I am wearing a blue shirt. And you can see that I'm wearing blue suede shoes today. Advent is the color of blue. Why blue? Because blue represents the color of the sky just before the breaking of the dawn. The color of the sky just before the breaking of the dawn. We are waiting for the light to come. We are waiting for the dawn to break. And so I want to invite you to sit with us in the pre-dawn for the next four weeks as we prepare together. So our series during this time is we're going to be exploring the titles that are given to Jesus in all of our Christmas stories. Our Christmas stories come from three of the Gospels, Matthew, Luke, and John. And we're going to be exploring the titles given to Jesus. And you're going to see that the sermon titles are also Christmas hymns. They come from Christmas hymns or Advent hymn lyrics. And today's title is The King Shall Come. You might not be familiar with this particular hymn. It's an Advent hymn. It's a new Advent hymn, but it's set to the tune of an old Christmas song. We're going to be singing it at the very end of the service today. It's called The King Shall Come, but it's set to the tune of Joy to the World. So there's that tension again, right? You've got Advent lyrics, but a Christmas hymn. That tension is okay. And that tension shows itself again in our liturgical year. Last week, if you were with us, it was Christ the King Sunday. And I told you that last week was the very last Sunday of the Christian year. So this is the first Sunday of a new Christian year. This is like New Year's Day for us here in the church. But last Sunday on Christ the King Sunday, we said that Christ is King now. Not just then, but now, and he rules now. But all of a sudden, on this Sunday, we're waiting for this king to be born. Now, wait a minute. I thought he was king now. Well, he is. But wait a minute. I thought we were waiting for him to be born. Well, we are. I thought we were waiting to come back again and bring the kid. Well, we are. It's holy tension. Some more holy tension is the fact that last week we talked about how Christ is king, and yet he is a different kind of king than what we're used to. We talked about his coronation began through a crucifixion. He's a different kind of king. So king, we think of king, and that denotes royalty, doesn't it? Somebody who's royal. And another royal title that is given to Jesus in the Christmas stories is that of Messiah. Maybe you've heard of that term before, Messiah. That comes from a Hebrew word which means anointed, the anointed one. And if you think about kings throughout the centuries have been anointed with oil, Messiah, the anointed one. And the Messiah that came down kind of through the centuries of the Jewish people, that title became kind of a hoped-for model king who was based on King David. Maybe you've heard of King David before. He became the model king, and this Messiah was going to be a descendant of David, and it was going to be the perfect king. And so Jesus then becomes this hoped-for Messiah, and yet, he already seems to be a different kind of king. Just think about it in the prophet that we heard read today. Pastor Christine brought us word from the prophet Micah. And Micah says that this Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. That's where King David came from, Bethlehem. Bethlehem, although you are the least significant. You know, David, if you think about it, David was the least of his brothers. He was the youngest brother. He was the scrawniest kid, and he became the king. Micah says that this Messiah will shepherd his flock. You know, David started out as a shepherd before he became king, and this king will become one of peace. So already we're getting from this prophet, this seems like kind of a different kind of king than what we're used to. And then in Matthew's gospel, we see that the Magi, or the wise men, as we call them, they came seeking the king of the Jews. And where did they go first? Well, what is the capital city of Israel? It's Jerusalem. And that's where King Herod is reigning. So must be that's where the new king is going to be born. No, they don't find him there. Instead, they find him in Bethlehem, the least significant. And that's a pretty nice term for least significant. Bethlehem at the time was kind of a little backwater podunk village away from Jerusalem. And already foreshadowing that this might be kind of a different kind of king, think about these Magi. They become such a part of the Christmas story for us now. But these Magi, they were wealthy people, but they were foreigners. They were outsiders. They were from a different country. They were from a different religion. And yet, they came to honor this newborn king. And what does the scripture say? They went back a different way. They went back a different way. Because they met a different kind of king. Now, we see this, of course, after Jesus' arrival as well. We see this in his life. We see this in his death. We see this in his resurrection. Hang with us from now through Easter, and you'll get the rest of that story. See, this is our king who came among us. He did not see fit to rule from a far-off throne, aloof, with no idea of what his subjects are going through. No, this is our king who came to us as one of us. A king who calls his subjects not just to do what he says, but to do what he does. Not just to kneel before him, but to kneel with him to serve others. Not just to sit in the pre-dawn blue hoping for the light, but to go out and to be hope and to be the light for all of those who sit in the pre-dawn blue. We're going to have a chance this Advent to be hope and to be light. You've already seen a few things listed in the announcements today about the reverse Advent calendar, about the buddy bears, about holiday meals. And you're going to be hearing more in the weeks to come about our Christmas Eve offering. Every year at Christmas Eve, we give away 100% of our offering that night to help. It goes in two different directions, one locally and one globally. And listen in the next few weeks to where that offering is going to go. But we have a chance this Advent to not only hope for the light, but to be hope and to be light. See, we worship a different kind of king who not only calls his subjects to be different, but he makes them different. He sends us all back a different way. As we're going to sing in that last hymn today, the king shall come when morning dawns and light and beauty brings. Hail Christ the Lord, your people pray. Come quickly, King of Kings. Come quickly, King of Kings. Merry Advent to us all.
Of worship is that there is a call. God calls us, and then we respond. Back and forth throughout each worship service, that is the flow. And so the proclamation of the word is God calling to us. And one of the ways in which we respond is through the giving of our tithes and offerings. And so at this time, if the ushers would please come, you can respond now. And you can respond throughout the week.
Oh, how shall we prepare this house for the coming of the King?
With branches of cedar, the tree of the royalty.
How shall we prepare this house for the coming of the eternal Christ?
With garlands of pine and fir, whose leaves are ever living, ever green.
How shall we prepare this house for the coming of our Savior?
With wreaths of holly and ivy, telling of his passion, death, and resurrection.
How shall we prepare our hearts for the coming of the Son of God?
By hearing again the words of the prophets who foretold the saving work of God.
John 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were created through him, and without him nothing was created that was created. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as the Son of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Advent wreaths are used in church and home as a means of preparing our hearts and our minds for the arrival of the Christ child. Evergreens are placed around the wreath to represent the life found in Christ. The Advent wreath has candles, three blue, one pink, one white, which mark the Sundays in the Advent season. The first candle is the hope candle, symbolizing the period of waiting and hoping for the coming of Christ. The second candle is the peace candle, signifying the birth of Christ, who is our Prince of Peace. The third candle is the joy candle, representing the joy Christ brings to our hearts and lives. The fourth candle is the love candle, symbolizing the love of God that came down on Christmas. In the center is the white Christ candle, symbolizing Christ himself and his last to be lighted finally on Christmas Eve, on the first Sunday of Christmas and on Epiphany Sunday. Now on this first Sunday of Advent, we light the first candle.
I am going to need the children to come and join me right now in front of the Advent candle. Children, come on down. You got to stay on your feet for this one. We've got a lot to do in a little bit amount of time, so stay on your feet. All right, well, you heard me say it before. Merry Advent. Our waiting season has begun. Our 4 weeks of waiting leading up until Christmas. And one of the things that we love to do around here is we love to light our Advent candles. How many, besides the white candle in the middle, how many other candles do you see? Four. And how many Sundays of Advent did I say there were? Four. All right. And so each Sunday we're going to light one more candle. And if today is the first Sunday of Advent, how many candles are we going to light today? One. That's right. And in order to do that, though, we're going to listen to Miss Sarah and Robert read our Advent candle liturgy. But after that, we get to sing the Advent candle song. And this is where you come in. You are going to help the congregation learn and sing this song. So if you've been with us for a while, you know how the chorus goes. So sing it with me if you know it. Candle, candle, burning bright, shining in the cold winter night. Candle, candle, burning bright, fill our hearts with Christmas light. All right, and if you don't know it now, you will by the end of Advent, because we're going to sing it every Sunday from now until January 1st. So, let's listen and read along, because our part is going to be in bold, and you're going to hear the words that we heard earlier from the prophet Micah again, and then we'll help sing the candle song.
Though we might feel we are the least significant, our shepherd will come.
We wait for you again, Lord Jesus.
He will shepherd us in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of God's name.
We wait for you again, Lord Jesus.
We will dwell secure because he will become one of peace.
We wait for you again, Lord Jesus.
As we wait, we light one candle today, one little light to knock holes in the darkness.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot put it out. Amen.
All right. Sarah and Robert are going to light our first candle, and let's sing Light the Advent Candle 1. I love that song, and I love you singing with us, and we will sing it again next week. Thank you so much. You can take your seats if you haven't yet. Grab your worship notes, clipboards, and take some good notes today.
Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah 9, verse 2 and verses 6 through 7. Verse 2 will be first. The people who walked in the darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined. Verses 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of the government and the peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice and righteousness from now until forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
In this season of Advent, when our nights are long and the days are short, we look at these earthly signs, candles and greenery, and remember God's promise to the world. Christ, our hope, our peace, our joy, our love will come. And so we bring into the sanctuary greens of ivy as a symbol of the Redeemer, even a symbol of Christian faith itself. We bring in light to remind us of God's words, "Let there be light," and there was light. John's gospel tells us that Jesus of Nazareth is the light of the world. Our Lord told us that if we let the light shine so that others could see our good works, we can glorify God. At Christmas, we use candles, our source of light, both in the ceremony of the Advent candles and also by putting candles in the windows to share God's light with all people.
Thank you.
Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 through 6. The days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the earth. His days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness.
Wreaths made of evergreen and holly have great Christian symbolism. Isaiah tells us that there will be no end to the reign of the Messiah. And so we hang this wreath of evergreens shaped in a circle, which itself has no end, to signify the eternal kingdom of Jesus the Christ. In addition to the scripture, there are legends handed down telling of the importance and symbolism of greenery. One tells the story of the Holy Family's flight from Bethlehem. Herod's soldiers had been instructed to find and kill the baby Jesus. Mary and Joseph looked for a safe place to hide him, but all they could find was a holly bush, leafless and bare. Laying the baby beneath the branches, Mary prayed for his safety. At that moment, prickly new leaves sprang forth from the holly bush. The soldiers passed by, leaving the baby in safety and peace. Because the holly does not lose its leaves, it is considered a symbol of immortality, and it has come to stand for peace and joy. With the assortment of greens and berries that we place near the altar, we're reminded that Jesus came to the earth, suffered for us, and gave us life.
Snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord a memorial for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off.
Many of the old legends surrounding the birth of Christ tell of animals and trees worshiping him and giving gifts to him. The stately pine tree is said to have given its sweet-smelling needles as a gift to the Christ child at his birth so he would have a soft bed to sleep upon. Legends say cedars and plants like them have never shed their leaves and never lost their green color since the day of Jesus' birth. They are forever green in remembrance of the day they honored the infant Christ child. Evergreen, everlasting, eternal green branches are a part of our preparation and waiting. They serve as symbols of hope, eternity, and as a reminder of love that we receive from Jesus Christ. Evergreens are a symbol of eternal promise of renewal and our eternal everlasting God. The garland decorates our sanctuary balcony with boughs of evergreen to remind us of both the heavenly and earthly natures of our Lord, as he himself became the link between heaven and earth.
We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we traverse afar.
Matthew 1, 18 through 23. Now the birth of Jesus happened this way. After his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, had in mind to divorce her privately. But while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for he who is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now all this occurred to fulfill what the Lord had spoken to the prophet, saying, "A virgin shall be with child and will bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is interpreted, "God is with us."
The red leaves of the poinsettia are as much of a sign for the Christmas season as are the red berries of the holly or the green of the wreaths and the Christmas tree. The poinsettia comes to us from Mexico. It was first used as a celebration of Christmas by Franciscan monks in the 17th century. One old legend tells how on Christmas Eve night long ago, the leaves of the poinsettia first turned red. It was the custom for everyone to take some kind of gift to the church and lay it at the altar before the Christ child. One little boy walked slowly toward the church that evening, embarrassed because he could not afford a gift to lay before Christ. As he passed by a poinsettia plant, its leaves burst forth in glowing red. It became the finest of all the gifts laid at the altar that night. Now, every year, near Christmas time, the poinsettia, whose leaves at other times are not green, again burst forth with color in celebration of the birth of the Christ child.
They love him too.
Luke 1, 26 through 33. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." When she saw him, she was troubled by his words and considered in her mind what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Listen, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end."
Many churches and many families have a nativity scene as part of the adornment for the Advent season. St. Francis of Assisi, a very peaceful man, known for his love of animals, is responsible for the popularization of the nativity scene. He wanted to bring home to the people the humanity and humility of the Christ child, so he constructed a life-size manger with live animals and real people. Those who saw it immediately embraced the nativity scene as a means of making the Christmas message more real. Today, we are placing the creche itself at the altar and waiting to place the figures that complete the scene during each of the Sundays of Advent and Epiphany.
I want to invite our Trumpets Children's Choir to make their way forward, and before you take your places up here, I've got something that I need you to help me with. You saw that we just brought in our manger scene, and each Sunday during Advent, we add more and more figures to it. So what does this look like to y'all? It's a manger scene, but what does it look like? Does it look like a barn? And who stays in the barn usually? What is a barn for? Yeah, a farmer's animals are there, right? So we've got animals here. Can you help me put some animals there for right now? Go ahead. All right, go ahead and pick one that you want. There's some animals in here, and y'all grab a couple of them, okay? Grab a couple of those birds, buddy. All right, so let's make a home for these animals, and they are here in the manger scene waiting for some people to come, and we're going to be adding those during the next few Sundays. So once you've got it added, go ahead and take your places over there, Trumpets. Okay. All right, thank you so much. All right, now we're excited to hear y'all sing.
There be peace on the earth. Did it begin with me?
Thank you.
Luke 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the entire inhabited earth shall be taxed. This taxation was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own city to be taxed. So Joseph also departed from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem in Judea, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So while they were there, the day came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn.
We come now to the decorating of our chrismon trees. Chrismons, these have been made over the years by folks in our church. They depict the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They are symbols that remind us of our King who is coming, who is here, and who will come again. I'm going to invite you to come down the center aisle, and I'll invite our chrismon basket holders to go ahead and take their places, and we're going to let you come down and each take a chrismon and decorate the trees as we listen now to some more songs from Christmas.
Thank you.
Well, what a way to begin Advent. Amen, church. Thank you so much. We had so many people participating in today's service. Thank you to all of our musicians. Thank you to our narrators. Thank you to all of our folks who brought in the greens and helped us hang them. And I want to point out two of our unsung heroes of this service. And they were just dancing in the back because it's all done. Brenda Leach and Pat Barnes are our worship coordinators. They made all of this happen, and we are so grateful for your service today. Thank you, Pat, and thank you, Brenda. If you would like to know more about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ as part of this congregation, please speak with me or Pastor Christine after this service. We'd love to point you to some more discipleship opportunities here at TRUMC. I want to invite you to stand as we join our voices in our final hymn that sends us out into the world, "The King Shall Come," Advent words to a Christmas tune. Let's sing together. Join me in our sending forth. It can be sung to the tune of "Away in a Manger." Sing with me.
Awaken us, God, to the light of your dawn, the day of your grace, which is hastening on. Now open our eyes to the true perfect light that shines in all things, that we too may burn bright.
Friends, go burning bright, be hope, and be light. Amen.